May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Well, good morning. It is so nice to be back home and to see so much of my Trinity family. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Rhonda Rogers, and I am a senior in the Iona School of Ministry and a candidate for the Holy Order to the priesthood. And Trinity is my sending parish and has been my church home since I moved to Houston from Rochester, New York. So it is really good to be home. So the Holy Spirit is a very funny woman and has a fantastic sense of humor. And as I was reading the gospel lesson for today and preparing for this morning, for some reason, the Holy Spirit kept having me think about Bruce Lee. Now, some of you may be wondering, Bruce Lee and Jesus. Jesus and Bruce Lee. And, you know, I want you to understand that I had that same struggle, too. Because, you know, I had a crush on Bruce Lee when I was in high school and college. And, you know, I could mimic his voice, and I knew all of the lines in the movie, and I even could do a few of the moves. And, but yet, there it was. This connection between Jesus and Bruce Lee. And it was because of this conversation Jesus is having with the Pharisees and the scribes. And it reminded me of a scene in Bruce Lee's last movie, Enter the Dragon. Now, in that movie, Bruce Lee is walking and he begins working with an apprentice. And this young student comes up to him and Bruce Lee says, "Kick me." Now, you can imagine the dismay on the student's face, being asked to kick the master. And so he makes a sort of an attempt to do so. And over the scene, Bruce Lee puts him through a series of repeat attempts at kicking him and provides him with a few lessons. And one of the lessons was this conversation. And this is what popped in my head when I read this lesson. So Bruce Lee tells the young man, "It is like a finger pointing to the moon." And the young man looks at Bruce Lee's finger. So Bruce Lee swats him on the forehead and says, "Don't concentrate on the finger, or you will miss all the heavenly glory." Now, Jesus calling the Pharisees and the scribes hypocrites sounds to me like a verbal swat on the head. They are looking at the finger, the hand washing, rather than the moon, what is important to God. And what is important to God is what comes from our hearts and our relationship with God and our relationship with each other and our relationship in our communities. No one can wash themselves to holiness. Making sure you get in the requisite seconds by singing happy birthday, or using antibacterial soap or Purell, or whether you're zestfully clean or you're pure clean, pure ivory, it just isn't about washing. We can't wash ourselves to holiness. And when I say holiness, I'm not talking about being pious. You know, standing with our hands cupped at our chest, with our eyes gazing heavenward as we contemplate our personal halos. I mean holiness as a spiritual wholeness and being set apart because we are working for God's kingdom, where we graft our hearts in the love of God's name, where we increase in true religion and are nourished by God's goodness, and we bring forth the fruit of God's good works. I do feel a little sorry for the Pharisees and scribes because they probably think that they are just trying to follow the ritual purity laws and trying to make sure everyone else does so too. They are stuck on the proper way rather than the righteous way. Procedure rather than association, and perfection instead of connection. They had gotten so focused on how it's supposed to be done and getting it right that they had forgotten the true purpose and were trying to wash their way to holiness. Now, it's important to note that Jesus doesn't condemn ritual hand washing in her response. He doesn't argue that all religious traditions are evil, but what he does indict is their legalism and their self-righteousness and their elitism that keeps them from freely loving God and loving their neighbors in ways that are relevant. He challenges their unwillingness to evolve, to mature spiritually, and to change for the sake of God's kingdom. Now, I'm sure none of you have ever gotten stuck in your own minutiae, missing the forest because of the trees, heading off towards the offending party with determination, not considering whether what we are about to say is going to build up God's kingdom, or for that matter, is going to build up or tear down the person we are speaking with. We can come across as condescending and self-righteous, and in my particular case, a know-it-all and a bit snarky. The other memory that came to mind was an argument I was having with my former husband. Let's just say there were times in our marriage when things were just a wee bit volatile. And we were having an argument, and I got this idea that rather than raising my voice, when he raised his, I would get quieter. And that we use that technique of where you just re-express what the issue is and what you're feeling. So I would say things like, "Now, honey, when you did thus and such, I felt this way." And of course, he would yell some more. And I would say, "Now, but honey, we need to focus on the issue. Because when you did thus and such, I felt this way, and I need you to do so and so." Now, our neighbors probably thought he was being very unreasonable, yelling like that and using the words he was using, and I was being very calm and compassionate and reasonable. But when I looked at my heart, what I was doing was being just a wee bit snarky, because I knew the quieter I got and the more I kept repeating the same thing, the more pissed off he was going to get. This wasn't at all about being who God was calling me to be. Christ urges us to examine our hearts and look for those times when we are being snarky. He wants us to look at our own defiled hearts rather than focusing on our neighbor's dirty hands. James and Jesus compel us to focus on what is important to God. Are we quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger? Do we bridle our tongues? What's in our heart? Are our words and our actions holy? Do our attitudes and actions reveal genuine love for God and compassion for another? They are not asking for perfection, but they are asking for a heart and a ministry towards holiness as I've defined it. Spiritual holiness, passion for God and compassion for our fellow humanity. When competition, meanness, judgment, and violence are diminished, and love, peace, joy, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness are increased. We are set apart when orphans and widows are cared for. And we no longer oppress the alien, and the stranger is welcomed. The naked are clothed, the hungry fed, the sick are cared for, and prisoners visited. We are set apart when God's abundance is made available to all and not just a few, when all people around the world have clean water, shelter, and peace. We can't wash ourselves to holiness, but we can freely love God and love our neighbors in ways that are relevant to building up God's kingdom. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord, I want to be more holy. Lord, I want to be more holy in my mind. My thoughts tend ever to be divisive and scattered. In so many ways, my mind is a house divided, and the conflicts rage up and down all my corridors. I need wholeness. Oh, that my mind may be stilled by the holy hush. Lord, I want to be more holy in my mind. Lord, I want to be more holy in my words. Words are my common tools of communication. All that many know of me are the words used as connecting links between my inward parts and theirs. The temptation is ever to use words as instruments of confusion and disorder. Words can sting, enrage, humiliate. Oh, that thy holy quiet may invade my words, that they may heal, bless, and make whole bruised, broken, and fearful ones. Lord, I want to be more holy in my heart. Here is the citadel of all my desiring, where my hopes are born and all the deep resolutions of my spirit take wings. In this center, my fears are nourished and all my hates are nurtured. Here my loves are cherished, and all the deep hunger of my spirit are honored without quivering and without shock. In my heart, above all else, let thy love and integrity envelop me until my love is perfected and the last vestige of my desiring is no longer in conflict with thy spirit. Lord, I want to be more holy in my heart. Lord, I want to be more holy. Amen.